We're continuing in our series in Matthew, and today we're reading Matthew chapter 12, starting at verse 1 and reading through to verse 21. So if you're looking in the contents page, Matthew is the first book of the New Testament, and chapter 12 is where we'll be starting. So Matthew chapter 12, this is God's word. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." He went on from there and entered their synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" so that they might accuse him. He said to them, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy like the other one. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him, how to destroy him. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him. And he healed them all, and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah: "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope." May God give us understanding of his word this morning through Mark.
Well, good morning again. Whoa. Okay, there you go. Phew. I already lost you right from the beginning. I've lost you. That's not good. That's not good. Good morning again. We're in Matthew. Thank you, Roz, for reading for us. And as we come to this passage, I just want to encourage you. This passage is about mercy. This passage is about the mercy of our God. And so it's really crucial that the people of God hear about the mercy of God. In 2016, a man in San Francisco, California, named Elvis Summers. Now, there's a name for you. Elvis Summers. He noticed that most homeless people lived in cardboard boxes or makeshift tents. So in cold and rainy weather, the shelter in which they lived did not really keep them safe and warm. So he sought to mercifully address this problem by building what he called tiny houses. The houses are about 2 meters by 3 meters. So that is very small. It's big enough for you to walk around in, and that's about it. And it costs about $1,200 to build. Well, he began to assemble these tiny houses and give them to homeless people. The health and safety and the sense of belonging that these people had improved because that they had proper shelter. They had a place to find rest. Things went well until the San Francisco city government received complaints from the residents who did not want these tiny houses in their neighborhood. You know, sort of the not in my backyard kind of idea. No one objected to showing mercy and giving people adequate shelter. We all would applaud taking care of the homeless. But what they objected to was putting these tiny houses in their neighborhood. They called for zoning rules to be changed and to restrict the tiny houses being built. And also, the city took away the houses that had already been given. So people became homeless again. In chapter 12 of our passage, showing mercy, lifting people's burdens, and humbly offering them rest, well, that's a trademark of Jesus. But the Pharisees displayed the opposite. Like the residents of San Francisco, the Pharisees restricted mercy and made burdensome rules to keep everyone on their toes, to not give rest. You see, the Pharisees, they killed mercy. But Jesus gives mercy and justice. We'll see that in the passage, justice to the nations. Because Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, he defends the guiltless, he heals the disabled, and he fulfills Scripture. This morning, I want to ask you the question, what does mercy look like? And the first thing mercy looks like is the one who defends the guiltless. One day, I walked through my cousin's cornfield. I was small, I was hungry, and I saw some lovely sweet corn. I removed the husk of one of the ears of corn, and I took a bite. It was so juicy and sweet, right off the stalk. It was lovely, really good. Now, would you say that I worked when I picked that ear of corn and shucked it and ate it? Now, if I lived in the days of the Pharisees, they would charge me, as they did with the disciples, of what we see in verse 2 of our passage. Your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. In their eyes, in the Pharisees' eyes, I would be a lawbreaker just by taking that stalk of corn, that ear of corn, shucking it and eating it. See, Jesus responds to these Pharisees, to the charges that they bring against the disciples, by asking two questions. So look at the questions in verse 3. Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? And then he asks another question in verse 5. Have you not read in the law on the Sabbath that the priests of the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? So imagine you're in a courtroom. That's what's going on here. The Pharisees have made their charges, and Jesus here is acting as the defense attorney. And the charge is pretty much straightforward. The question really is this. Did the disciples work by picking heads of grain and eating them? And Jesus points out then two occasions in the Old Testament when God's law appears violated, but in neither case is guilt incurred. Because if you look at the end of verse 7, it makes it clear to us. You would not have condemned the guiltless. That's Jesus' determination. They are guiltless. So Jesus first mentions David and his men eating the bread belonging to the priest. And Jesus said it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. And then the second case he mentions, on the Sabbath, that the priests of the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless. Well, wait a minute. Is Jesus justifying the guilty and those who are just lawbreakers? I mean, the Pharisees, they're meticulous lawkeepers. They know the law. They're extreme legalists. And when Jesus said it is not lawful for them to eat this bread to David and his men, and that the priest profane the Sabbath or desecrate the Sabbath, that's pretty bad. It sounds like this terrible admission. Remember, Jesus, he's supposed to be their defense attorney, and it seems like he's working for the prosecution, you know, that he's on the wrong side. But there's two reasons that Jesus also points out why this is okay. First off, we need to understand Jesus' identity. So look at verse 6. When Jesus says something greater than the temple is here. Now think about it. The temple, the place where sacrifices are offered, the place where the people of God met with the priests who made the sacrifices, who made things right between God and man. And Jesus is saying someone or something better than the temple is here. And so he points out two titles, verse 8. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Both those titles, the Son of Man and Lord of the Sabbath, belong to God. They are deity. Jesus is telling the Pharisees, I am God who gives Sabbath rest. It's important we understand that here is God saying, I give Sabbath rest. Jesus' identity is established. But there also is an invitation from Jesus. So Jesus gives an invitation. Now, we would have missed it in our section if you back up just a little bit, three verses back into the last chapter. So the end of chapter 11, you can flick back there a little bit, 28, verse 28. Jesus issues this invitation. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is Jesus saying there? He's issuing an invitation. He's the one who lifts the law's crushing burden, and he gives us a lighter yoke, allowing us to find rest in him. So the burdens that we've seen in chapter 12 of hungry disciples, the burdens of Pharisaic legalism, the burdens of guilt, those who look guilty, those burdens are removed. As we learn about Jesus, the Son of Man, the Lord of the Sabbath, and we find our rest in him. So the disciples, David and his men and the priests are guiltless because as Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus is God. And God says he desires mercy, not sacrifice. See, the law required that the bread of the temple go to the priests because the priests work. And the priests needed to be ensured that the priests got food for their work. They needed to be fed in order to continue doing their work of mercy. So it was merciful for them to be fed. So that law is protecting the hungry. It's showing mercy to the hungry. The intent is to show mercy to the hungry. Similarly, the priests in the temple, they work on the Sabbath, offering sacrifices, slaughtering animals, sprinkling blood, doing all the heavy lifting. That was work, but it was works of mercy. And ultimately, all the temple sacrifices pointed to Jesus' sacrificial work. It pointed out to God's mercy in Christ. What's going on then? What is Jesus' defense of these people? Are they guilty or not guilty? Well, first thing is Jesus rejects the Pharisees' use of the law to condemn others. That's what he's hitting against. That's his attack against the Pharisees or his defense of the disciples. That they were using the law to attack others, to condemn others. He's not justifying the guilty. Instead, he's showing that the law promotes, encourages mercy to those in need. The one greater than the temple, The Son of Man, the Lord of the Sabbath, says that he is the one who desires mercy and not sacrifice. So what does mercy look like? Well, mercy also, our second point, mercy fully heals the disabled. What we see here is Jesus entering the Pharisees' synagogue. Did you notice that? It says that Jesus goes and meets in their synagogue. So he goes to the place where they feel most at home. It's their home turf, if you put it that way. And it's actually like Jesus entering the jaws of a trap. Jesus enters the synagogue, and Matthew tells us that there was a man with a withered hand. He's the bait in the trap. And then the Pharisees set the trap. And look at what it says at the end of verse 10. Here's their question as they set the trap. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Matthew even tells us the motive to their question, so you understand this really is a trap. Their motive is it so that they might accuse Jesus. So earlier, we saw in our earlier point that Jesus entered the courtroom and he defended his disciples against the Pharisees' accusations. And of course, he won the case. And now he's entered the Pharisees' trap. And he chooses to answer their question in verse 10 with a question of his own in verse 11. Which one of you, if you have a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? In other words, it's a bit of work. You can see that sheep trapped in that little picture there. That would be a lot of work to get that sheep out of the pit. In the answer, of course, it is a rhetorical question, but the answer, of course, is that any one of the Pharisees would surely go and rescue their valuable sheep from the pit. And so Jesus concludes with this: it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. The question was, is it lawful? And Jesus says, yes, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. The next thing Jesus does is an astounding thing. You remember, there's a trap. The trap is set. And Jesus springs the trap, because he heals the man fully on the Sabbath, right in front of the Pharisees, so that there's no confusion. Jesus did good on the Sabbath, and he healed. And Jesus' work is astounding on two levels. First off, that he could actually make a man's hand. The heart of the unmerciful person then in this story is revealed. In this occasion, we see that the Pharisees, they use a man from their own synagogue, someone who is burdened with a handicap, and they use him as bait to destroy the one who shows mercy. They are mercy killers. And their evil values are revealed as well. They prize sheep. They prize property over people. So the unmerciful, they use people. They do not aid them. This guy had been in their synagogue for how long? It didn't look like they were looking after him. And they valued property more than people. By contrast, Jesus, he is Lord of the Sabbath. He values people. And he fully restores them. He has the power and he puts it to use. It doesn't matter what the day of the week is. He's taking care of his people. And he even put himself in harm's way to mercifully rescue this man. What does mercy look like? Mercy looks like Jesus, who did not shy away from the trap, but he displayed mercy to the man with the withered hand. See, we know that Jesus is the one who shows mercy. He lifts the burdens of others and humbly offers them rest in a self-sacrificial way. The unmerciful Pharisees used people for their own gain and used the law to condemn others. That's the contrast that we see here. But the irony is, this is the irony, that the one who is God, the one who is the Son of Man, the one who is the Lord of the Sabbath, he's the one that's merciful. He's the one in the story who could condemn, but instead he shows mercy. But the Pharisees are themselves guilty of lawbreaking. What did they do after they confronted Jesus and the trap was sprung? Well, it tells us, right? They used the Sabbath. That day, they went out and plotted how to kill Jesus. They should seek mercy, right? They should be the ones in need. They are lawbreakers themselves. They are merciless. That brings us to the third point. When we think about what does mercy look like? Well, we see that the Lord of the Sabbath, he heals all and then he fulfills Scripture as well. See, Jesus continues to show mercy in this passage. So from verse 15, it says he withdrew from the synagogue and he kept on healing all who followed him. And mercy, the kind of mercy, the kind of work that Jesus was doing, it attracted all kinds of people. People who needed Jesus' merciful help, the healing that they needed. People were ill. They knew that they were ill. So they sought the merciful one who could heal them. I want you to look back in your Bibles, back to Matthew chapter 9. Because something quite similar happens much earlier, this couple chapters back, three chapters back from where we are this morning. In verse 10 to 13, just scan through there. You can see it. Something similar happened. It's where Jesus calls Matthew the tax collector. And after he calls Matthew the tax collector, they go back to Matthew's house. And all these tax collectors and sinners are gathering because they've seen Matthew receive mercy and be called as one of Jesus' disciples. And so they start gathering and to hear from Jesus. They recline at the table with Jesus. Again, the Pharisees come in and they ask the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answers this. You've heard this passage before. "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." Again, that quote that we saw in our passage in chapter 12, Jesus had previously spoken those words back in chapter 9. "For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus came to call sin-sick sinners. People who know they are sick, know that they need a physician. They need the one who can mercifully heal their sin-sick soul. It's like you and I, right? You know you're a sinner. You know you mess up. You know you break the law. You need a physician. You need to go to the one who gives mercy and who can heal your sin-sick soul. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 12 and look at verse 18. Jesus has shown that he gives mercy to heal both soul and body. He is God's chosen servant, and his actions fulfilled the words spoken by the prophet Isaiah. These are the words that are quoted here from Isaiah chapter 42, these quotes from in Matthew chapter 12. Let's just look through them, scan through them. Verse 18, it talks about this servant in whom God is pleased, the one in whom his spirit is put upon him. You know that happened? We saw it in Matthew when Jesus was baptized. The Father spoke from heaven. The Holy Spirit came upon him. It fulfills Scripture. God is pleased with him, and God's Spirit is upon our Lord and Savior. He will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. You see, this will take place. It does take place at certain points in Matthew, but it also takes place in Acts as the gospel goes from the people of God, from Israel, on into the nations, to the Gentiles. It says, he will not quarrel, he will not cry aloud, or his voice be heard in the streets. Did you see what took place in verse 16, where he tells the people after he heals them, don't tell anyone? It's because he's ordering them not to make his name known. He's not trying to high note himself. He's just getting on with the business that God has given him. He won't break a bruised reed or a smoldering wick. And we've seen that even in our passage this morning. He is humble and he is merciful. He is gentle. He takes off our burdens heaped up under the law. And he gives us his burden where we might know rest in him. And then he brings justice to victory and the Gentiles hope in his name. What we have seen is Jesus' servant heart here this morning. What does mercy look like? Well, it looks like God's servant, Jesus. He defends the guiltless. He gives mercy to those in need. And he stands against those like the Pharisees who burden and condemn others with the law. Ultimately, for you and I, Jesus' mercy here is on public display at his self-sacrificial death on the cross. That's where we see the mercy of God. That place where you and I should have been nailed, that death that you and I should have died, Jesus died in our place. I don't know about you, but I do find mercy hard to receive sometimes. Either because I think I'm too good, and I don't need God's mercy because I'm a good guy. Or because I think I'm too bad. God can never forgive the things that I've done. I don't know about you, I don't know where you are, but I hope that you recognize and see from the passage this morning that Jesus offers mercy to all who will find refuge, who look to him for mercy, to have that yoke of that burden of the law, the guilt removed and taken away. I pray that you find mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. For those of you who know Jesus, I hope I've not revealed anything about myself that you think is horrific that a pastor would say sometimes he feels like he's too good or too bad. I hope that doesn't shock you. It shouldn't. Two times in the passage, Isaiah quotes and talks about justice. And it's this passage quoted to us in Matthew. God's servant is said to proclaim justice to the Gentiles. And in verse 21, that he brings justice to victory. I think we should also ask, what does justice look like? Well, that too looks like Jesus. His death on the cross fulfilled the justice of God by bearing the death of all lawbreakers who seek refuge in his mercy. See, the truth is, we're not getting away with anything. We do stand condemned under the law, all of us here, whether you trust in Jesus or not. We have all violated the law of God. But justice is served, our penalty is paid by our Savior. He takes our punishment on himself on the cross. What does justice look like? It looks like Jesus on the cross. Do you see your need for mercy this morning? I hope you do. Whether you're a Christian or not, have you put your hope in Jesus, the one who will give you mercy? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are indeed so grateful for your kindness to us in Christ. More than kindness, mercy undeserved, glorious mercy. Holy Spirit, I pray for each one here that if they know you, that they would be just reassured of your love for them and mercy that is held out and given to them freely in the gospel. For those here who don't know you yet, I pray that this morning they would see their need of mercy, that there is no condemnation as they would turn to you and ask for mercy, that you would release them from that judgment, that guilt, and you would give them the mercy that they need. I pray that all of us here would be able to rejoice together in the wonderful grace and love of Christ and his mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.